Are Troy's friends laughing at him, or are they laughing with him? And we will find out if Troy will ever find himself. All that and more as we cover episode 7, season 2 of Dear White People.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Surgical summer.
Why do you?
Because I want it to happen.
Okay.
All right, what's up, guys? We have so much to talk about. But first, my name is TK Trinidad. I am one of your hosts. But alongside with me, we have the beautiful.
Aww.
Wearing the puff. What if I said Nate? That would have been funny.
Starting
it
early.
Would be funny.
Starting really early.
That is a joke.
Or Mrs. Ivana Williams.
Hey, y'all. Thank you.
No problem. And he just let us know that on his side job, he models.
Yes.
And she's a virgin. He just told us, too.
I'm not here making up lies.
Nate Miller.
What up?
Joining us.
That's me.
All right. Anyway, he has nothing.
So you model on the side now? I just heard that.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Is it with clothes or without clothes?
Oh!
Fake news. Fake news.
So what do you guys think of the episode overall?
You know, it was cool. I really appreciated the shroom trip. Like, I mean, because, you know, people experiment in college. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that I did. I'm just saying.
You just
people
sigh
experiment
it, but you
in college.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. So that was funny. I mean, I appreciate the comedic relief of just, you know, Troy just experimenting.
I don't know. I feel kind of the same way. It was funny, but I think this is the weakest episode of the season. Maybe it's because I don't care enough about Troy. I'm not invested enough in him to see this journey, but it just seems like he doesn't care himself the whole way through.
So do you just care when it's like sexy women, or is it just I mean, that could be a thing, because I paid more attention to Brandon.
I care about his actor.
I paid more attention to him when he was without his shirt in season 2. I was like, oh, okay, like, mm-hmm. I looked him up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's no. Just, no?
I care about Lionel too. I care about Joelle. Okay. I care. Most of the other characters have like qualities. I feel like Troy has been very one note. There was a little more to him in season 1, but everything that we've seen him in season 2 has been very one note, mm-hmm. playing this comedic relief almost. And I don't feel like he was fleshed out enough at this point to warrant this kind of like emotional journey of trying to discover like who he is. Mm-hmm. And I think they kind of are self-aware of that because the whole thing is a joke. Like the whole episode is superly comedic in tone, even though it's somewhat of a serious thing for him.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Brandon, we are going to do Dear White People, our segment that's going to be coming up, and we're going to cover some news. The reason I bring up, speaking of Brandon, Ivana and I went to this event, and Brandon wasn't there, I was kind of disappointed about, but we'll talk about that.
You told you see him?
Later on.
And that face?
Yeah, that face. And I was going to ask him, because if you watch my, I posted that interview from the one we did 6 or 7 months ago, where I was like, how are your DMs? They must be popping. And he like smiled. So I was just trying to get him to lift up his shirt this time. I mean, if you work so hard, you might as well show it.
I didn't know that's what you was going to say.
That was the game plan.
Okay.
That was the game plan, but you know,
she didn't
show up. Anywho, Troy's hanging out. So this kind of, I feel like this episode was just one of those. If this episode wasn't in the season, we wouldn't have missed anything, if that makes sense. Because like, I literally went through my notes and I'm like, oh my God, did I watch this episode? Am I not prepared? Mm-hmm. And then I was like looking, it's like, oh yeah, I watched it 3 days ago, but that's how. It was just kind of like, you know, even with the naked scene, I was just like, eh. Okay. It kind of goes back in the past. Troy's hanging out with his friends. What do you feel like the white friends that Troy has, do they really care about him, or is he literally the token? Like, he is the token, but do they really just hang out with him because of
they
who
care
his
about
is?
The token? But, so I guess both. It's like fake though. I don't think they truly care for him as a black man. Mm-hmm. But they keep him around because, hey, that's Troy and he makes jokes and like we laugh at him.
I don't know. I think it might be a little bit of both. I think they do like him though. What's the main one's name? The guy who runs Pastiche.
You know what? I meant to look up his name.
I'm sorry. I've meant to write it down, but I didn't.
You know, the dude with the long hair.
We see him you know, hanging out with Reggie and Troy too. Yeah, he's the one that I think he genuinely cares about.
They've been friends since they were kids.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the thing that makes it difficult to have this discussion about whether or not they care, are they laughing with him or laughing at him, mm-hmm. is I think the root of that question is he performing for them? Mm-hmm. Is he just trying to be funny, or is he trying to be funny to be accepted, to be liked? Does he feel compelled to fill this token right. role? If he's going to do that, I don't know if I necessarily blame them mm-hmm. for laughing, if that's the case. Because right. it's not like they're putting him in situations where like, all right, now we're going to laugh at yeah. Troy because we made him do that. If Troy's acting a fool and peeing in the fountain, it's funny. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's kind of it's an interesting discussion.
Yeah, because I wonder if there was a situation where, you know, he was legitimately in trouble, would they actually help him or wouldn't they? Would they just figure, okay, well, his people will take care of him?
I don't know. Maybe the other ones, I don't know about.
Because you can look at it as the, you know, for instance, the whole thing with Black Lives Matter, right? You have that thing where, you know, the main concern was, you know, these boys are getting shot. And if we are, how America totes itself is like, we're about America and American people, then these are one of your sons, no matter mm-hmm. what color they are. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case with some individuals. So it's just kind of like, I wonder, it's the same thing with Troy and some of his friends.
Yeah, I think it is also definitely a performance because that's the whole point though. It's about Troy's always been performing. He, you know, even for his dad, that's not who he truly wanted to be. Mm-hmm. He performs in front of his friends and he thinks he's actually funny. He thinks he's getting great feedback and it prompts him to actually try and perform stand-up and he bombs it. So mm-hmm. this is all about Troy constantly performing.
But do you, so he did mention that because he said his father, or when he was having that discussion with his father, he's like, you know, I learned, or it might have been with Reggie, he's like, I learned how to, you know, be amongst white people and, you know, make them feel comfortable. And then amongst my own people, like, you know, I've been doing that for so long, I'm not even, you know, my own people don't really accept me. So do you feel like his father taught him that aspect of it and didn't teach him about, like, you know, because it's almost a form of code switching. Right. So we coach switch when we're amongst people. I don't really recall my parents ever teaching me that.
How to code switch?
Or like how to code switch. Like I do it.
Yeah.
But it's like doing it. You know what I'm saying?
We just kind of pick it up.
Right.
I think. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if Troy's father kind of taught him that and just had him amongst white people all the time. And he learned how to navigate through that, but didn't have him around a group of black folks all the time in a comfortable, in a, you know, non, you know, you are the legacy situation.
Yeah, I would assume based on what we're given from this episode that that was the case, because they say a couple times, like, they reinforce this idea of a legacy student and that, like, it's not just them, but it's all the people that come before them that have worked to get them where they are. Mm-hmm. So there's this big responsibility of, like, it doesn't matter what you feel like you want to do. Your path has already been decided for you by people in the past, and they're counting on you. Mm-hmm. So you get that pressure in that type of situation based on what we've already seen Fairbanks say of, like, you know, I just want to protect my son. I don't want him to be in that scenario. That's right. why he breaks down later, because he never wanted him to be in a situation where he could get hurt.
Right.
It seems like he would definitely try to socialize him or just teach him, you know, how to conversate and how to navigate in those spaces and those
highbrow. Yes, conversate, navigate.
I wonder if it's the same thing as, like, parents who bring their kids to, like, America or English-speaking countries and they don't teach their kids other language, like, their home language, because they want their kids to assimilate. Mm-hmm. Tony, can you turn on the AC? Because it's
glistening.
It's getting hot, getting hot. It's getting hot in here.
But even for me, not to get too personal, but my dad, we always ran into the situation where he would talk to people on the phone, and my dad was raised by two college-educated black people, and so he spoke very well and very eloquently. A lot of people just assumed that he was white, so I got that side of him, but also I grew up in a black church. You know, I've been around black people. My family's black, so there's also that other side of how you speak in a different way, that code switching. So I got to see both, but I can see how some people may not have, and I think that he didn't experience that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what this journey is realizing, when am I just being me, and when am I being who I think I need to be to fit in with whoever I'm around?
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a shelter thing, because I experienced the same thing too. My mom worked for the government for 30 plus years. I picked up, you know, when she was talking on the phone with folks, and then talking with folks who are not our folks. Like, you know, you learn that type of stuff. And it's just kind of like you pick that up. But I think that's anybody in general. If somebody's from, I don't know, the South, and they have that, you know, twang, and then, you know, they get on the phone with the collector, they're like, you know, right. it's so.
Are you in my home, TK?
I'm not, but I mean, dang. I guess, you know what I'm saying? It's just like the folks who are, I guess, I don't even want to pin it on the educated, but the folks are, who are in the know and who play the game.
Yeah.
Then,
well, there's
you know,
a certain stereotype that comes along with certain ways of speaking.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but it benefits you in many scenarios mm-hmm. to speak a certain way. And that's, I think that's what we're talking about, is learning when you want to speak. Because also, with that same way, you don't want to speak with perfect diction if you're in South Central.
Right.
And you're in a shady part of town and some people are like, yo, what's up? Where are you from? Excuse me, good sir. Like, that's not.
I mean, it might get you out of the situation.
It might, because they might
because they realize
like
he just took the wrong turn.
Yeah.
Like he just doesn't know. Okay. But you know, if you ask him for pookie,
let me help you get out of here, bro.
Yeah, then that's all another.
I'm just saying it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't ask for pookie. Just make sure he's like, I wrong turn. Like,
girl,
that's it. What is that? Or boom shika? No.
But yeah.
Just saying. Oh my god.
So now, do you think that where do you think Troy will land? Like, do you think Troy is going to, because the Troy that we know prior to this whole scenario is essentially who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's going to revert back to that and use the skills that he's learned to dealing with white people and, you know, become a businessman or, you know, in like, you know, what his father wants him to be? Or do you think he's going to totally just say, F that, this is what I want to do now, and, you know, almost do a total like 180?
I think he's going to do the comedy thing after what we see at the end of the episode. I think he figures out what his space is and also how to express himself in a way that other people find funny, not just himself or mm-hmm. people that he's like purposefully trying to entertain. I think
it's the beginning of him finding himself, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It just feels like some people go on this quest to find themselves and they realize that it was...
It's the hard way and they don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's not even the hard way. It's just like there's certain parts of you that are always like, say for instance, you want to be a comedian,
mm-hmm.
right? Some people are naturally gifted and some people could work at it, on it, but they'll never be like a comedian.
Mm.
So it's like you realize, it's like, I don't know if you read Charlemagne's book. It's like sometimes you just...
No.
You ever read Charlemagne's book? Oh, it's so funny. Sometimes you just have to know that that's just not for you. Like,
mm-hmm.
not everybody could be a rapper. Not everybody could be, you know, a mathematician. Not everybody could do that because
mm-hmm.
they're not gifted with those skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like if he has the tools of navigating and he's smart, he can also inject funny into whatever avenue he wants to do. He doesn't necessarily have to be a comedian per se, because some people who are funny, they're not good comedians. Because it's way more work
But I would agree with that if it wasn't for the fact that they added that scene in the end
mm-hmm.
where he's telling jokes and everybody's laughing.
Such a waste of a good body, though.
Girl!
Anyways, speaking of bodies, Troy and Muffy are in the bed. He lays it down.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't agree with that?
No, apparently he slayed it.
Shut up.
What is that? Isn't that what she said? Killed it?
So you talk like
it
a virgin.
It was just not... Wow. Okay.
So I mean, yeah.
So
I mean, were y'all surprised?
Talk about the show?
So
you want to get the heat off my back?
So him and Muffy are in the bed. She gets a text message or email from Pegasus, which leads Troy to find out that Muffy got into Pegasus and Coco didn't, and she didn't want to tell Coco because she didn't want to break her heart because they're good friends. Do you think, and that's another thing too with Muffy and Coco, do you think Muffy actually cares about Coco, or do you think it's one of those things, it's like there's so few black people on campus, you want to be the cool white person who actually knows a black person,
mm-hmm.
and they have that relationship?
I don't know, their relationship is kind of iffy to me. Like, I don't really see them being lifelong friends,
mm-hmm.
so I do question how genuine it is.
Or are they using each other, where Coco's using
Probably
Muffy
that.
To get into that, you know, that particular girl group?
Mm-hmm.
I think probably that,
mm-hmm.
from based on what we've seen from Coco. Also, even what she says later in this episode, when she's talking about Muffy.
Wow,
whatever. So that leads Troy to ask Muffy about how does she see him? Which, I mean, I'm surprised she just didn't say like good penis. Like it would have that.
Why?
Because it seems like if he wasn't hot,
uh-huh.
if he didn't have he wasn't the dean's son, like all these accolades, then she wouldn't be there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, Ithy was...
He would just be a regular old
yeah.
black dude smoking weed all the time.
Well, that, you just add the weed part. We didn't add the weed part, but yeah. Ithy was...
What?
Ithy wasn't... Ithy was just... He was just like... It on campus. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the dean's son. Mm-hmm. He was just average. He wasn't that, and he didn't have, you know, say Ithy came from like a broken yeah. home, didn't have the
Not
money,
for
all
you,
the accolades.
I totally understand.
Like, she wouldn't...
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like the foot... Like, you know, girls who go after jocks. They go after the jocks on Ugh. Campus because they're hoping to cash in.
Good luck, girl.
I mean, some of them make it, so kudos.
Sometimes.
Some folks who their mamas teach them.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Hey, girl, I'm from the South. It's God family football, so. Yeah, they do.
No name.
Yep.
So Troy, he asked Reggie how what he goes to Reggie now. So he takes the shrooms with his white friends. They go on this, you know, this thing. Troy is now going on a quest to find himself. But first, before he finds himself, he wants to ask his friends what he thinks of them, what they think of him, which is interesting. Have you ever asked your friends what they truly think of you? Like the ones who are honest.
I must say only the ones I care. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I haven't done it in a while. But also my friends already tell me and I tell them because I'm at that level of our friendships mm-hmm. now. So it, like we already know.
Yeah.
Was that a nervous slap or was that a...
No, like okay. we already know, so okay. it's yeah. no biggie.
Most of my friends that I would be that honest with mm-hmm. would just tell me what they think of me, so okay. it's good, though.
Yeah, I already know before I ask.
Well, man, there always might be something that you had no idea about.
True.
Like something that you've There's been that. Doing and then
Well, you'll
like,
never have the perspective of somebody else that's looking at you.
Right,
you
know? So...
You only have your own.
You never know. So he goes to Reggie. He goes on this quest. Reggie actually tells him about this whole scenario, and he realizes that, you know, after, you know, going through this trip, that Reggie loved Sam, or Reggie wanted to get with Sam, and he totally got with Sam in order to gain the presidency. So he realizes that he's kind of an a-hole in that situation. So do you think that him and Troy and Reggie's friendship will last beyond college?
Yeah. I mean, if they're still friends after that, I think so.
Possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah, right? As long as Troy continues to
dudes.
Change and unlearn.
Then you tell your buddy, like, oh, I really like that girl. I've been thinking about her all the time. Uh-huh. And then you go and, like, not even just sleep with her, but then date her and then, like, break her heart.
Because I didn't even know. The thing with the breaking heart thing, did you know the reason they broke up is because of the cheating? Or did they introduce that in season two? Because I feel like I didn't see that in season one.
I think they did.
I don't know.
Because it felt like they like they didn't talk of, they just broke up because Sam was about, you know, kind of going, I want to say overboard, but it's not the, passionate about the issues, and Troy wasn't trying to go that route, and it just, that's what
they
it
just,
seemed
they
like
just
in season
grew
one.
Grew apart.
Right.
That's what it seemed like.
Whereas this one is like, she finds the text.
Yeah.
Which is.
I didn't think that, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't think because now I in my mind on top of you know all this stuff I have like ho in the definition, like you know when you see certain characters and you have like certain things that like how to describe them like
yeah
that's
their breakdown
that's one of the and I didn't have that before this yeah
all the other stuff before
no it was
wasn't
like hot nice abs
mm-hmm. when like he was so when he was telling Reggie to get the sympathy pussy he wasn't a hoe.
No, but that was after Sam.
Okay.
You're saying the breakdowns while he was with Sam, you didn't think he was
that
way.
Yeah, but while he's with Sam. But after Sam, I mean, he's single. It's college. Isn't that what you did in college?
Hey.
No.
He's a virgin.
Oh, my God.
So he goes to the radio station. He talks to Sam and Joelle, and he asks them what they think of him. And, you know, we find out that text. So do you think there is any possibility between... Now that he's kind of learning about himself between Sam and Troy, as far as friendship and or possible relationship.
What's the question?
Say it again.
Do you think that Sam and Troy, like mm-hmm. their friendship, they have a friendship now,
uh-huh.
kind of.
Yeah.
Do you think they will maintain their friendship because he's now trying to discover self? He doesn't realize how selfish he has been. So he's kind of changing.
I think they can probably be friends after this. Now that he's not such a dick, like mm-hmm. I feel like he's less insufferable, and so maybe now she can put up with him. But can I don't also I don't really know how much you can really be friends with somebody you used to have sex with. So
really,
I mean, it seems like they've been pretty friendly.
Different.
I mean, Even the fact that she talks to him and opens up and tells him all this stuff kind of goes to show she has some positive feelings towards him, not romantically, but like as a friend.
Yeah, you can't help.
She cares about him realizing that he's an idiot. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I could definitely, I think they'll be friends.
So if you have sex with somebody, you don't think you can be friends with them? Or is it more relationship sex and then you don't think you can be friends?
I mean, when you break up after, yeah, and y'all had a sexual relationship, like, you can only be friends to a kind of certain extent. So that's what I'm saying. Like, eh, we'll see.
I would generally agree with that. Okay. I think it depends on the situation. Not always, you know, number is a factor.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, but are you saving yourself for marriage or?
Wow. No, I'm not saving myself for marriage.
So sweet.
So. I don't even
Wait, are we gonna talk about sorbet?
Yeah.
No, we're just gonna talk about my imaginary virginity.
So sorbet, I mean, that was so funny because that was voiced by Loretta Devine. Mm-hmm. That was such a pleasant surprise. I was like, oh my god. If I was having a shroom trip, no, actually I don't want my dog to talk to me. Never mind. Like, I would say if I would
Your
love.
Your dog's actually really cute too.
He is cute. That's my boy.
Have you seen her dog?
Her dog?
Yeah. Do you not follow her on Instagram?
I do, but I don't.
All right, just check.
So well, later on, you should go look at my dog. His name is Dallas.
For updates. What kind of dog is he?
He's a mini poodle.
Oh. I'm sure it's very cute.
Yeah, he is very cute.
Why do you say it? She clearly said he.
It's my boy.
It's a dog.
And he's cute. No, he's my son. He's my dog son. So that's why I was really upset that I was kind of hoping that Troy would like pick up Sorbet and bring him back. But I just wish he could because like, please bring that dog back home. Oh my God. But
I think Sorbet is doing pretty good.
For herself, out there in the wild.
Yeah, on campus. I guess all the best food. Yeah.
Probably.
But I feel like she should be a little bit dirtier.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. It was like, Sorbet, you've been out for a while, sis. Yeah. Like, what is happening?
What would be the timeline? Would it be after from season one to where we are in season two? Would it be like a month?
It's a very short amount of time. Yeah, so
like a month, a couple weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. I'd have to watch again to.
Because when she said she lost Sorbet, then we found out Sorbet was there, so that might have been like a 2 week.
Yeah.
So maybe like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's for season one, season two.
But with Sorbet, what kind of let me know that this is possibly the time where Troy gets where he begins unlearning things and he's discovering himself more is because Sorbet, Loretta, in her, you know, black auntie voice, she's like, here, basically, like, come and baptize yourself so you can be like born again. And he didn't have to take all his clothes off like that campus. Like, my God.
Well, if you work out that hard, but he didn't. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So that let me know, like, this is the beginning of him, like, a rebirth in a sense. You know what I mean? Just being born again, and he's becoming more the man that he truly wants to be. Mm-hmm. So,
but do you, so with the rebirth, so for instance, like, for people who are, like, born again Christians, right? Mm-hmm. You go through the baptism and all this stuff, and you want to become like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But we all make mistakes. So do you think he's going to revert back to some of the Troy-isms? Or there's certain things that he won't be able to change as quickly? Or is he going to just say...
I think he's going to miss some of the privileges he had being in the position that he was before. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of all a part of the process. But that's what it is, a process. Mm-hmm. And he might go back and forth because it takes time. But I don't see anything wrong with that. I think ultimately he's not going back to the truth. Because he hated his dad and he hated himself.
I think it's kind of like a combination of both. I think he's still, because he's still the head of house, I believe, of AP House.
No, Coco is, isn't he?
No, Coco's the president of Core.
But I think he lost, didn't he lose that position, head of house?
No, he was just applying for it.
Okay.
Or maybe it's not head of house.
No, let us know in our chat.
Because it's AP House when he was applying, when they showed that, I think when they were showing that with him and Reggie, that was before he started dating Sam. So he got that because he was dating Sam because she won over Core.
Okay, maybe I'm mixing the
titles. I
assume
that he lost and let go of everything.
It's like the...
The AP house. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. It's like house manager or
something
like that.
But I thought... actually, you know what? You are right. Because the last episode, he started complaining and the hotep was like, you are right. But yeah, but it's just the titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what Hotep is. You don't.
Hotep.
Yeah, so I think while he is he is definitely a changed Troy, he's not gonna, you know, it's not night and day. It's still gonna be a process. I think he's still gonna do asshole things. He might feel a little more guilty for them. He might realize quicker, like, oh shit,
he's
I shouldn't have done that. Right, but I feel like before he was completely oblivious to what he was doing to other people.
Yeah,
or I think, and I think that's kind of what is reflected in his stand-up at the end, is him being able to make fun of himself, like, I am an asshole. Like, look, guys, I do shitty stuff.
Yeah.
And here I'm going to try to make fun of it and make it funny to try to make something productive out of it.
Yeah.
But he was much more self-aware than we've ever seen him before.
And do you think with the self-awareness that was, or him not being self-aware, that was because of his father or just because of the privilege?
I think some of it has to do with how his father raised him. Some of it is being raised in the privilege, but some of it is himself too. Like, you can't. This is one of those situations you can't blame everything on everything around him. Troy also made the decisions to be complicit. He made the decisions to just kind of go along with things. He made the decision to fuck around with Sam. He made the decision to go after Sam, after Reggie. He made these decisions to do these things.
The cheating thing was bad, but I think with the selfishness, if you're raised that way, then you and you're around people who are also that way, it's hard to know any different. Like, we see people all the time who, you know, they're around a super group, certain group of individuals, and whatever they see on the media is what they see on the media, and they apply it to other groups. So it's like, if they don't if they're not around, for instance, Black folks, then whatever they see on TV is what they're gonna, until they start hanging around with some Black folks, like, oh, we're way more than, and that should be a whole media thing. So I think in Troy's case, aside from the cheating, that was just what he was raised into. If he's around money all the time.
I agree too. And it's not as if you're making excuses for his behavior, but if that's how he was raised, then to an extent maybe he didn't know any better, but he should have known, you know.
Yeah, I don't buy that excuse. Not at this age. He's
19 or 20?
Having the internet the majority of his life.
What are you supposed to look up on the internet?
Other cultures, other news, other you're not as sheltered as
That's the problem with the internet.
His lifestyle and how he was raised is definitely a factor. I'm just saying, you can't write it all off on how his dad raised him and that he grew up in money. There is a personal responsibility for how he acted, and he could have made the decision to try. We see people who are in these places of privilege and they decide to do something different
Something happens to them for them to look like, because the internet is so big. It's like, what are you gonna look like? I didn't know anything about Hotep, and then I looked it up because I heard it on the show. So it's just like, we have so much access, but it's like, where do you start? Where do you go? What do you
He's always been spoon-fed. So it's like, so again, this is him. At least he's learning, and he is holding himself accountable. But, you know, did he even know to look up really much about sexism and what that really looks like? Subtly, male privilege, classism. He's got a lot of unlearning to do.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, I think with this experience, and hopefully he remembers it. I don't know. I've never been. After shrooms, do you remember the experience?
I've never taken shrooms. I do not know.
I haven't taken shrooms before.
Do you know somebody who may have a friend?
I do have a friend. I'll ask.
I have friends who take psychedelics, and I'm pretty sure that's.
Do they remember
some of
bits and pieces?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't. But
because it'd be kind of.
Not a blackout.
Yeah, but it'd be kind of shame if he goes through all this and he doesn't remember the.
Right. What you learned.
So now another person he bumps into is Coco, which was heartbreaking because he had no idea what she was talking about, and she had to make the sacrifice for, her sacrifice for the greater good of.
Of her life, girl.
Which is crazy. So do you think, because obviously she's still coming from a place of anger, because here's the question. So if he wasn't the asshole Troy that we know now, before he put the garbage can in the whatever, broke the door and all this other stuff, and he was the upstanding, do you think she would have kept the baby?
I don't know, because he was still corny.
But he still had he still has the privilege. He still has access. His father adores her.
Maybe so. It makes him less insufferable. Like I said, she'd probably be able to put up with him more.
No.
No? You don't think so?
No, because she's not done with school. She's still doing her own thing.
She could have still did
school. He was a means to an end for her.
Right, but I think if he...
If she's pregnant with his kid, it doesn't... That doesn't work anymore. She's
I think
not
she would have still been having sex with him, mm-hmm. but to create a family, because mm-hmm. That affects her. And of course, like we saw, she weighed out her options. Like, right. she looked ahead. Is this what my future's going to look like?
Mm-hmm. Because if he didn't do all that stuff and they were still together, mm-hmm. that future would have played out the same way, except they would have been together instead of him talking about his new wife, mm-hmm. right? But it still would have been the same thing of her getting delayed into whatever she's trying to do. So I don't know. I don't think that either way that she would have went through with it.
So Trini Boy in Trini Boy 27 in the chat says, I had a whole edible for my birthday. So let me know if you remembered what happened.
Edible is marijuana. We're talking about shrooms.
Okay, anybody in the chat had shrooms?
Real.
My bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was
LSD.
The same thing. My bad.
TMT.
Just saying.
Yes.
iTunes. If you're listening to us on iTunes.
Yay.
Give us 5 stars. If you don't want to, if it's less than 5 stars, don't even bother. Mm-hmm. And make sure to put all your comments and all that good stuff on YouTube. We read all that good stuff. And,
yes,
you know,
we do.
Definitely if you want to hire Nate modeling.
Aww.
Yeah.
Please give us thumbs ups.
Give him thumbs up. Do you do any, you should just start doing some like thirst trap pictures.
No? I didn't realize that this after show was about me.
I mean, you're here.
You so make it about you.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Hey. Just got a little sorry.
And then what else happened?
So what? How about news you can use? Are we there yet?
Last thing.
Okay.
So Troy tries his hand at the new profession. So what do you guys think? After obviously the first time was terrible. The last time, what do you? How did you feel about the last performance?
That's his crowd. It bothered me in the beginning that he was trying to make the joke that every black male comedian always tries to make about black women versus white women. And it's trash every time because mm-hmm. I've heard it so many times. Okay. And it's also not true. So, TK.
I'm just trying to think of the joke. Which one?
Cause about, we'll see, because white girls, they give head with enthusiasm. Black girls, they, maybe, nigga, you're corny. Like, Troy is
maybe
corny.
Maybe they want to suck your little dick.
And that's the truth.
That's hilarious.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, he finally found a way to balance out, to have the perfect balance in his jokes, and mm-hmm. he can appeal to his white audience and his black audience. Hold on, I'm not done. And they're not that uncomfortable. Because he was making white girls uncomfortable because he was corny, and the black girls, mm-hmm. and he got heckled. So finally he's not getting heckled.
I don't think it's even about a balance as much as it's about, when you're telling jokes, it's hard to tell jokes about people and about groups. You rub
you
a lot of people
good.
The wrong way. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of ease into that sort of a thing, or you have to be really, that's got to be
well-known,
your specialty.
So yeah.
More often than not, the best stand-up, I think that's easier for people to come along with, is when you start making jokes about yourself. Mm-hmm. You allow people to laugh at you, to laugh with you. Mm-hmm. That opens up these situations of telling these ridiculous stories of things that you did. And I think he finds that instead of trying to be obnoxious and saying things that he thinks are funny but not good stand-up material, instead he takes his real life situations, which are ridiculous, mm-hmm. and turns them into funny stories so that people can laugh at him, with him, but at him. And that's when you're a comedian, that's what you want. So I think he figured out that it's not just about being funny, it's about a show and presentation, but also knowing who you are is a big part of stand-up. And I think that was really interesting about the Pastiche guys, that they helped him point out, because at that time he really was just like the token black guy, just filling in for whatever, you know, black joke was needed to fill the requirement, and seeing all the other guys kind of
define themselves,
right? And don't feel weird, it's fine to define yourself, but just figure out a good definition and then you know what to work with.
So yeah, you always, like in a group of friends, you always know the one, like I was always the designated driver, like you always know in the group of friends what role you
were always a designated driver?
I was always, one, because I'm in America and I always felt like if I got into some ish, I'd be deported. So I was very, I was very on top
of
stuff.
I've never heard
that,
but I understand.
Yeah, so it's just like and the last thing I want to do is go back home to Canada for being deported
for your friends.
Yeah,
bitch, you ain't about to give me deported.
Yeah, so it's like, I was like, no, this is not going to work. And then also, I'm always, do not want to be in any type of jail in any situation.
In America,
especially
in America.
Well, I mean, Mexico might be worse, but you know,
I think
just
any jail.
Yeah, any jail. Yeah, any jail. In essence, the first question I had from our first segment was that Troy's friends is are laughing with him or at him, it's almost like they actually helped him find who he was or who he is, because they offered him the shrooms and said, you need to find yourself.
I think they helped set him on the path, for sure.
And then his father was standing in the back as they're watching the show. And by the way, I like the cord flip that you did after. I noticed that. If we had an editor here, I would so cut that. That
what?
Was just wonderful. That was wonderful.
I missed it.
I saw it. It was epic.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So there's just certain things that I love about different shows, and everybody has their things, and it's just yeah. So also a shout out to all the fans in our live chats. Trini Boy, I think I probably missed the question about the psychedelics, but Trini Boy.
I keep looking up here because I keep hoping we'll see the chat, but oh,
my
don't.
My 401 Flex. Thank you for hopping in. And everybody who, Jones, SCB, but yeah, Black Magic 99. Oh, that's an interesting name. So thank you for everybody hopping on the chat with us and all that good stuff. And let's get into that news.
Yeah.
Is there a drop for the
news? News.
AfterBuzz TV News.
The lights flicker.
I'll let you start it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So yesterday we attended the red carpet for Dear White People at the Paley Center for Media in Beverly Hills, and that was awesome.
It was
a very small, intimate carpet, and that's what I like smaller carpets. I really do, because I feel like I get more of a chance to interview someone.
Yeah.
And this time I got to interview Justin Simeon. He is the creator, writer, executive producer. It's just been fabulous. And he is a great interview as well. Like, he's really funny. I asked him if we could possibly, you know, look forward to maybe some spinoffs or something, what's going on. And he said, hey, I'm always creating. I'm just ready. So, and I like his mind. So I look forward to seeing some more of his works. And he's not above working more with Netflix. Because I said, you know, right now we've had this whole, you know, discussion about diversity. People want to see more of their narratives, and Netflix is on it.
And I think Shonda signed with Netflix too. So I mean, if there's it's gonna be a lot of content.
Netflix is really doing it, and I really look forward to you know, Justin Simeon just doing some more work with Netflix.
He is awesome. I think we were both talking that we probably interviewed the Dear White People cast 3 or 4 times.
Yes,
and they the ones that we've interviewed multiple times. They hugged us. Asked us questions. It was really nice.
Oh, that's nice.
What I think you might like is I actually got to interview Reggie, and I asked him about the whole washcloth thing, because the question I did have was
before that.
Which one?
When you, your foot. You don't want to tell it.
Oh yeah. I almost. So everybody else in the carpet was just doing the whole mic thing. So when you watch like red carpet interviews, you just see their hand in the mic. But I mean, we're too cute to be doing that. So we cross over the rope thing so we can get our face in the shot. And you know, Ivana was smart. She would just hold me, and she. But I'm like, nah. I'm a gangster. I work out all the time. So I tried to do it, and I almost busted my face. And Reggie was in another interview, and he's like, oh shit. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. He interrupted his interview. He's like, oh shit. And I was like, oh my God, no.
And she was like, oh my God.
But
no.
I had you.
She's like, she had me, but I mean,
I had you.
It would have been one of those situations where I'm on the ground. She's like, I had you.
I had you, though.
It would have been.
I was a little
one.
Late, but I had you.
Yeah, so thankfully I didn't.
Yeah.
But now I forgot what I asked him about the washcloth thing. Because what it meant, the whole thing with that is, at what point in your life did you realize, you know, other people didn't use washcloths? And like I said, I didn't realize this until last year. I did a whole Instagram post about it. And he's like, he didn't realize that. He realized that when he was 5. Like, he went to his friend's house. Let's just call him Tommy. And he's like, oh, they don't use washcloths. And he was like, oh. And so when he saw it in the script, he was just laughing, because it's like they just insert other stuff in the script. So
yeah,
just figured you would.
We all use washcloths, though, right?
We had this conversation already. Let's not go.
Yeah,
let's not
we
go.
We don't all
yeah,
use
let's
washcloths.
Not, let's not go. Let's go to that.
Right. Well, that's news you can use.
Yeah, but they were all amazing. Did you get anything from
what?
Joelle? I can't remember. There's so many. We did so many interviews.
I don't think I interviewed
Joelle.
Yeah. Oh yes, I did. I did get to interview, because I thought you did. Nothing new.
Yeah, she was. My whole thing, you definitely have to check out our interviews. It's going to be posted up on AfterBuzz.
Yeah.
Red Carpets interviews. Uh-huh. Look for Dear White People interviews. Look, search for our names. What I did, I always try to make my
interviews. Hopefully we can link it under this video.
Oh, maybe we can.
Yeah, if we can work that out.
But what I like to do is throw people off. So I had a little bit of a game. So the game was rapid fire. Ask them some headline questions.
Oh,
like what they thought of the headlines and the first word that comes to their mind. So obviously I brought out the Drake blackface. Also talked about Trump. Also asked them about the NFL. But then this one, I found this story, and I should have tagged you in it too, because I found the story and I tagged Reggie in it. What? So this story, there's an African pastor. He's in Ethiopia and he was doing a baptism in the river. As he's doing the baptism, the crocodile comes out. He's dead, by the way. Crocodile comes and eats him, and he's actually dead. So in the game, I just say the headline. So African pastor baptizing somebody in the river, a crocodile eats him. And that's what the first word that comes to mind. So I asked a lot of the folks from Dear White People I played this game with them, and it's going to be all online. Yes. I actually found it kind of
their fun. Reactions were hilarious.
Yeah, so I actually found that I'm going to start doing that.
Because you didn't know whether the pastor died. Yeah. And they didn't know either.
Yeah,
so.
I was like, oh yeah, I didn't read that far in the script. So shout out to Raquel, though, because Raquel's interviews are on fire. And I pulled the game scenario, not the game itself, but the game scenario from her. So shout out to her and, you know, give credit where credit is due. Special predictions. Anything? Well, we all saw the show, though.
Yeah.
So is Keith still holding on?
You've skipped through, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you skipped to 10. Keith is the only one who's still holding on.
Okay, well, he's not here, so we can skip that. All right, our special segment, Dear White People. You ready? I always feel like I'm never ready, and I'm the one who preps the rundowns.
If you stay ready, you'll never have to get ready. Know, hey!
It's like, what do I have to tell them today?
Yeah.
I feel like we should have a drop, too.
We need a theme song.
We do.
Okay, so I'll just go ahead and go.
Okay.
Dear White People, stop asking your black friends to constantly perform for you.
Dear Drake, don't be a little bitch. Don't let other people fight your battles.
We can go on a solo.
You're going to have Toronto coming after you. Wait, no, don't be.
Don't do that one. That one didn't deserve
it. That's all I got.
We can go on.
It's been a week.
All right.
Where you at?
What diaspora is Drake in now? Are we doing Nigerian now or Jamaican? You gonna have Nigerian and Jamaican.
Oh no, Drake's from Toronto.
Push me when I'm in album mode.
You have all the islands plus the black Canadians.
Hello.
Good. After you. They can help him hold his L.
Plus the hype beast. So.
I know you want to get into this because it'll go over time and we don't have time for that.
Oh, no.
Gosh. Dear White People, be straightforward. Meaning that if there is an issue, just state what your issue is. And also, if I respond and you feel like it's in a threatening way, it's most likely not in a threatening way. Do you guys get
it? You might just be scary. Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
But, like, I'm not going to...
No, I think as black women, we get that a lot, too. Like,
yeah.
Constantly, the angry black woman trope.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm just trying to, you know, set the record straight. But...
There's a video I'll repost on my Instagram, which is going to explain this more often. But essentially, there's this woman, shout out to Julie Bach. She's a singer in Toronto. And they're talking about this whole situation. And she's pretty much telling this white woman, like, look, this is a situation we as black people face this and this and that. And she's like, well, why are you attacking me? And she's like, I'm not attacking you. I'm just telling you what's happening. So if you feel that you're being attacked but I'm here calm, then you're probably not being attacked and you need to look it up, but you need to, you know, take that down the aisle and talk to Jesus about that, because it has nothing to do with me. Just
take it down the aisle. Which one of us is from Texas? I can't. I love it.
Talk to Jesus.
Well
I'm just, I get tired of it, and then that's what pisses me off even more, and then I have to tell myself I can't be that person, because you're expecting me to be that person. It's a whole thing, and now you are literally killing this person inside your mind, because you have to go through all of this, and they're just, I think you're angry at me. I think you're going to tell, no.
Yeah.
No? You don't?
No, I'm shaking my head that people have to be told that. It's just...
It's just, when people say it doesn't racism doesn't exist, it's just kind of like, well, tell me all the scenarios that have to go through my head just to make sure you're comfortable.
Yeah. People just don't understand the scope of racism.
So. Do you feel better? Yeah. I feel like that was your personal release, girl. That was personal.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well.
All right. We will see you guys next week. Before we do that, where can we find you, beautiful Miss Williams?
Oh, thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams.
And model, Mr. Miller.
You're going to say virgin.
Modeling.
I was, but I see.
Modeling virgin.
I didn't know if you were getting like on the. Like,
what's
it was
up,
fun,
guys?
It's funny in the beginning, but it was, you know.
Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media, Dog Like Nate. That's Dog with two G's. If you watch Westworld, come watch the after show. It's on Sunday nights. It's really good. It starts at 8 o'clock.
Wait, you're all your social media handles are about Drake, and you calling Drake a bitch?
It's not about Drake. It's
they're from Drake lyrics.
It's a Drake lyric, but it's a reference to Nate Dogg.
Girl, so. I can't. Where can we find you, girl?
You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad as well as on TMZ. We have, I also do a show called Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. We had a wonderful woman by the name of Rosa Mendez. She's from Total Divas. She was absolutely amazing. So if you're not into wrestling, it's still gonna be a good show, so check that out. Also do Fit Club, it's coming up next, and also be coming Total Bellas. Other than that, we will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.